This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
This is Women to Watch.
To rise above all of the noise and fulfill every last one of your dreams.
Women to Watch, sharing the real stories of the most accomplished women in the world.
It is for those frightened children who want peace. It is for those voiceless children who want change.
Be inspired by women from across the globe.
True philanthropy comes from living from the heart of yourself and giving what you have been given.
Who are encouraging more women to pursue their dreams.
What I know to be true is that women were always meant to lead. And by shining a light on those doing it well today, my hope is that more women will find their own voice.
Now, here's the owner, founder, and host of Women to Watch, Sue Rocco.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco, and it's great to be here with all of you. Before we get started and I introduce our guest, I want to remind all of our listeners to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of women leaders bringing you news and education from their various industries. And we continue to be grateful for their support and the wisdom that they bring to the show every week. As we continue to expand into new markets, we are always looking for additional corporate partners. So if you're interested in being a part of the show, please email Taylor at womentowatch.net. That's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T. And don't forget to download the podcast each week so that you never miss a show. And be sure to sign up for our newsletter so you can stay in the loop on all things Women to Watch. Now, I'm very excited and thrilled to welcome to the show Dana Snyder. Dana is the founder and CEO of Positive Equation, which is a digital marketing company. Dana, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
I think we have to give a quick shout out to my dear friend, Karen McNamara, who I think connected the two of us. She met you at an event and described you as quite the dynamo and someone that, you know, who's we should have on and to share the story.
Love that. Yeah, we connected via LinkedIn, the power of digital.
There you go. Perfect example. So listen, I want to start with your background. And I understand you grew up in Sarasota, Florida.
I did.
Can you talk a little bit about what was the community like there? It's completely different from the East Coast, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, Sarasota, Florida has evolved so much as a city. So I was born in 1989. And I grew up kind of in North Sarasota. There wasn't a whole lot there. It was a lot of horse pastures, actually.
Oh, wow.
Like, literally in my neighborhood, which sounds hilarious. Now that it's like a metropolitan mecca, Siesta Key, the famous beach there, wasn't really known to a lot of people. And now it's been on every famous beach listing known to mankind. So it's the city itself has evolved a lot, but it's been a very... It's always been a very philanthropic town. There are hundreds of nonprofits within Sarasota and neighboring Manatee County. And so honestly, I grew up single child, two-parent household. Parents are still together, going strong, 34 years, which is very rare
yes.
in today's day and age.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And so, yeah, so single kid. So got to do a lot of amazing things. And I grew up in church. And something that was very common that I did every summer was going on mission trips. And so in Sarasota, from mission trips to being involved in church to doing like the beach life, I ironically, and this is like the most non-Florida girl thing to say, is I did figure skating as my sport growing up for years. My parents probably loved that one. They were commuting me like 45 minutes way to go skate almost every day when I got pretty competitive. So I love Sarasota. It's a beautiful town, very philanthropic, and it's grown tremendously over the years.
Tell me about those mission trips, because you were fairly young. I read you were in grade school when you started to go on those trips. And I think that takes, some courage to do that. Where did you go? And do you have a memory of the most impactful experience that you had doing that?
Yeah, great question. So when I was younger, they were mostly local because they would be day summer camps. So we would go to the local homeless shelter and give out mugs or serve food, which I guess now looking back, when you're 10 or 11 years old, it was very eye-opening. Right. And we would sit and have conversations with them and understand their experience and their background. But I think also when you're a kid, there is no judgment. There is no fear. There is no, you're just kind of like, that's a person and we're out there helping them. And so I think sadly as adults, that kind of blinder comes on or gets a little bit hazy where there's that maybe gap, maybe of mistrust that could happen or fearfulness. And I don't remember that at all from when I was a kid, like walking down the streets and handing out mugs to people. We also worked with the Seeing Eye Dogs. So we would train, we would go around with the dogs that were going to be Seeing Eye Dogs and go through their walk with them so that they could continue to practice that with different people. Oh gosh, so much. And then as I got older into, I would say probably eighth grade high school, we went to North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, so the South. And that's where we started doing some more physical projects, building bridges, clearing trails. There was one experience I definitely remember. I think I was in ninth grade. And we were repainting these women's home. One woman there had cancer. They were all really heavy smokers. Very low income. The walls were yellow, like stained from tobacco. Mm. And we had to go in and first clean the walls and then repaint them. And we had to take breaks like 20 minutes in and out because of the smell. And we stayed there. I remember we were only supposed to be there. It might have been like a 9 to noon kind of project, but we weren't done and we really wanted to finish. So the rest of the groups all went back to camp and we stayed until 6 p.m. And I remember because we did multiple rooms and then our group went out afterwards for a dinner. But that was really impactful because I think we bonded so much and then the women were so appreciative of our time. And then we got to know them more by staying there longer and not just going in and doing the work, but having the conversations while we were doing the work. So yeah, it's interesting. I haven't really thought about that in a long time. So I appreciate you bringing up that question.
Well, I think it's, you know, you've spoken yourself about the power of storytelling. And I think whenever, or I should say before we know someone's story, we'd have judgments just, you know, naturally. Totally. So when you find, and I think you're right too about being a child, there is no judgment. There's nothing there. And then you learn how someone ended up in that place. That's always a lesson, a life lesson.
Yeah, absolutely. Another one we were, this was later. I went back and I volunteered as an adult with our youth group in Chicago. And we were in downtown Chicago, and our guide had said there are shootings on the corners.
Wow.
And so we stayed at, actually it was incredible. We stayed at the church where Martin Luther King had spoke. Wow. So we like slept on the floors and we were doing outreach and different projects in the city. But it was interesting seeing it then through the eyes of the high school students as an adult.
Yeah,
was
right.
Fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. Were your parents ever concerned about that? Or were they very much encouraging you to go and be in these places so that you can see how fortunate you are?
Oh, yeah. My parents, back then, I probably was annoyed that they were so involved, but they were on those mission trips. One of them was probably volunteering as the adult chaperone.
Oh, okay. So they were with you then. Yeah.
They were with me. Maybe they weren't in my group doing that activity because I was like, come on, just give me like a little bit of distance. But oh, yeah, they were there. And then my dad still volunteers with the youth group at church going on trips.
Yeah, I think that's great. Listen, we're going to go into our first break. Thank you for being with us. I'm joined by Dana Snyder, the founder and CEO of Positive Equation, which is a digital marketing company for nonprofits, currently based in Atlanta. When we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about the fact that you went off to school and got your bachelor's degree in advertising and PR, and here you are still kind of in that same arena, which is interesting to me. So stay with us for our watch team, and we will be back with Dana.
Now, the Women to Watch, Health Watch.
For Health Watch, I'm Dr. Marianne Ritchie. This morning on Your Radio Doctor, police officer Carl Harper offered tips for personal safety. The overriding theme, be alert in the neighborhood, at home, leaving work. Be aware of the people around you and avoid risky situations, dark alleys, parking lots. When possible, travel with a friend. Walk close to the curb. Avoid doorways, bushes, alleys where somebody could be hiding. Walk at a steady pace and look people in the eye. Then they'll know you'll remember them later. Secure your purse close to your body, but remember, sometimes it's safer to let it go. Don't text while you're driving or walking. It distracts you from traffic and makes you an easy target for a stranger. At home, if you can't afford an alarm system, put a few lights on timers. Don't post vacation plans on social media. You're announcing that your home is empty. Most police forces will provide vacant house checks too. And if the doorbell rings unexpectedly, have your cell phone ready to call 911 if you're suspicious, and don't open the door. As you walk to your car, click only once to open the driver's door. Click twice, you open all doors, making it easier for a stranger to hop in. Lock your doors as you enter and leave your vehicle. Don't honk your horn in anger. The other driver might be unstable. If you get a flat tire, stay in the car till help comes. And if you think you're being followed, drive to a well-lit public place, police, fire station, and call 911. New baby in the family? Many police stations now offer to properly insert the base of your car seat. Great for parents, grandparents, babysitters. On a bus or train, have your ticket or exact change ready. Don't stand with your wallet open. Then keep your purse on your lap. Don't flash your jewelry. Turn your rings around so stones don't show. At work, no valuables in your desk. If leaving late, get security to walk you to your car. Hear the entire show on YourRadioDoctor.com. Stay awake, divas.
This is Women to Watch with Sue Rocco. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back. I'm joined by Dana Snyder, the founder and CEO of Positive Equation, which is a digital marketing company for nonprofits, which is very cool, and based in Atlanta. I always find it interesting when I'm sharing someone's story to see whether they kind of go in and out of multiple industries and end up someplace, or they start out, you know, with an interest in one field and kind of stay there. And you received your bachelor's in advertising and PR from the University of Central Florida.
Go Knights.
Okay, go Knights. I didn't know. But, you know, tell me what it was about that field that attracted you to it.
So I knew in high school, I went to a visual performing arts school and I was in their TV production field. Okay. So it was very interesting. You spent half of your day in the VPA program and then the other half of your day in your academics. And at the time in high school, I wanted to be a news anchor.
Okay.
Specifically in sports. I wanted to be like a sideline reporter with the NFL or the NBA.
And, which you could have, by the way. I think you very well could have.
Oh, thanks. I did dabble in sports for a while. That was kind of what I first did. So I knew I wanted to be in journalism a bit. And then I ran the news at our high school and was the anchor and read the teleprompter. And we had a whole set and everything. And then when I got to college, I was fascinated by, in the same vein as the sports world, I was fascinated by Super Bowl commercials. And I was They're some of the best. They're funny, they're engaging, they're emotional, they're intriguing, they capture your attention. The whole world pays attention to them just as much as the game. And I honestly was like, let me try out. A lot of things were shifting in the world with broadcast and journalism overall at the time. So I started college in 2007. And ironically, social media was just starting. So for perspective back then, to get on Facebook, you still had to have a .edu email address. So it was very specific for the college age back then. There weren't companies on there. It was there. advertising. I think the advertising platform had just started, but it was very minimal. So that wasn't really seen. So ad PR was interesting to me. And literally, I took my first class and I was sold. And I was like, yes, I love this. And then through college, my favorite class was campaigns, when we actually got to do the creative brainstorming of putting together an actual ad campaign and what that would look like. And then that led to me further along in a couple years moving to New York City to work in the space. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me what you've worked for some, you know, very well-known companies, organizations, American Idol, The Honest Company, Sports Illustrated, Dress for Success, great organization. Is there someone from that time that left an impression on you? Because I would imagine you met a lot of interesting people and perhaps were surprised by some and not by others. But was there anyone during that time that just left an impression?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So many. I'll try and say this as quickly as possible. So my first job was working for a nonprofit in Sarasota, Florida. I moved back. And then after about 2.5 years, I decided to pursue my dream of living in New York City. And so I've had the fortunate pleasure of having incredible bosses and leadership that I've worked for, men and women. And my first boss, Dave Nugent, was incredible at, because I moved to New York City when I was 23. So you think like you got it together, right? You think you know what's going on in the business world. And I had no idea. I had no clue. And he was so patient with me, but also brought me into the meetings with the C-suite, right? So I could hear the conversations. I was traveling from New York to Los Angeles. I was in the rooms with the C-suites of the NFL, NASCAR, PGA Tour, like Madison Square Garden. And I learned by listening to how they held themselves. Mm. And when there were not debates, maybe, right? And like how they worked through that in those conversations. So I'd say he was absolutely one. And then another pinnacle moment when I was in New York, when I decided to leave the PR firm I was working for, I actually called the then CMO of the Weather Channel, Annie House. The Weather Channel was a client of ours. Okay. And I was her client rep at the company, but we had created a friendship. And I just called her and I was like, am I crazy for wanting to do this? Like to leave my job and to start a company where I have no clients right now. And she happened to be in New York because Weather Channel's based in Atlanta. And she's like, let's go grab a drink. Let's talk it out. And she honestly was wonderful then and now as someone who's continued to just be a voice of reason and ear and helpful with connections.
So you must have had some belief in yourself to decide to do that, right? I think a lot of people, if you have a job and you're working for someone and it's steady pay, and I'm always curious to know, you know, did you always have a belief in your abilities, or did it kind of develop over time and get stronger where you felt confident enough to start your own business?
I wonder that a lot of the time, too. Growing up, so my dad owns his own business.
Okay.
And he traveled corporate. And then when I was in middle school, he stopped so that he could not miss so much of my life growing up, because he traveled like 3 weeks out of a month. And I saw him grow his business. I'm not sure if that subconsciously was always there.
Right.
But I think what I realized is I would leave a job after like 2.5 years. That was like my time period where I either wanted to change something and the company wasn't changing enough quickly for me. Mm-hmm. And I got restless. And I think I always wanted to, when you're working with a big company, right? Obviously it takes time. There's processes and there's people and there's things. So it can't happen super quick.
Right.
But I was just, I wanted things to change. I wanted things to move. And I had an idea. And they couldn't be executed all the time. So I read a book, Good is the New Cool by Afdal Aziz. It's amazing. And 6 months, like, after reading that book, I got to hear him speak in New York. That was the pinnacle moment after reading that book, because it's all about purpose and companies driven by purpose. And at the time, purpose was still like a buzzword. It wasn't nearly ingrained into society as much as it is now, because this was in 2017, 2016. Mm-hmm. And yeah, after reading that book, I was just like, let's just do it. I think I felt that I had worked enough in the corporate world to build connections where people trusted me and knew me, that I could just figure it out.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to go into our next break. Stay with us for our watch team, and we'll be back with Dana Snyder, the founder and CEO of Positive Equation.
Now, the Women to Watch, Nonprofit Watch.
Good evening, Women to Watch listeners. I am Cheryl Mackey, lead of financial empowerment at United Way of Greater Philadelphia and Southern New Jersey. Research continually suggests that higher education offers a wide range of benefits for individuals, such as higher earnings, lower likelihood of unemployment, improvements in health, and greater civic engagement. When an individual graduates from college, their lifetime earnings...
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Double, and the way is paved for future generations of their families to pursue the path to and through college. Daniel Lurie says, founder and CEO of Tipping Point Community. As the first person in my family to receive both a post-secondary and advanced degree, I can attest to the doors that opened for my family. Currently, I have 3 family members in education, a retired firefighter, a nurse, an attorney, 3 nephews, and a son who are enrolled in post-secondary education. Even my mother returned to school later in life. While the cost of college increases yearly, in the 2020-2021 academic year, most colleges and universities have refrained from increasing tuition costs to meet the economic needs of families during the pandemic. However, college expenses are still more than most low to moderate income families can afford. The College Savings Account Program, through our community partner, Utility Emergency Services Fund, or UESF, help low to moderate income high school seniors, college freshmen, and sophomores in the Greater Philadelphia and Southern New Jersey region with incentive saving matches that can build their assets and attain greater self-sufficiency. Students with dedicated college savings of $500 or less are 3 times more likely to attend college and 4 times more likely to graduate from college than those without savings. The Lubert CSA programs will afford recent high school graduates, as well as those who have enrolled, an opportunity to reach their goal of attaining a 4-year degree. For more information, please contact Sarita Stanley at saritastanley@uesfacts.org or go to their website, www.uesfacts.org. I'm Cheryl Mackey. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Sue Rocco here, host of Women to Watch. Are you a fan of the show? If so, be sure to sign up for our podcast at womentowatch.net so you never miss a show and can listen on your own time. That's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T.
You're listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined by Dana Snyder. And Dana, I wanted to share a quote, something that you said that I thought was interesting. You said, "I believe positive stories of change can transform our world to be a better place." And I wanted to ask you if you could wave a magic wand and change one thing, what's at the top of your list for something you'd like to change on a large scale like that?
Oh, wow. Great question. Something that I say in my company, my purpose and mission of what I do through Positive Equation is I really would like to change the perception of digital marketing and the value of professional development in the nonprofit industry. So talking very big, kind of removing the scarcity mindset that we have or that most, a lot of the nonprofit sector has, into one of abundance and to ask why not, right? I think that's where that quote comes from, because working in the social media space, and there's been a lot of news about this recently, and because we all are going through COVID, the powerful positive stories surrounding COVID, like at the very beginning when pots and pans, right, were happening outside in New York City in support of the workers, when people were playing music on their balconies mm-hmm. in Europe, those stories were beautiful and far surpass the impact that a negative story is going to create. And so I'm like, if we could change the perception and believe in the power that digital has for a positive purpose, I wish like my feed would be just full of those positive, beautiful stories that come up.
Mm. It makes me think about John Krasinski's podcast. Oh my gosh, I wish he was still doing that, right? That
was, yes, his YouTube show was
absolutely
hilarious.
Hilarious. And yeah, he's just brilliant to do that and doing it at a time that, you know, the world needed it.
Yeah.
What is it that you think is so powerful about, there are a lot of negatives to the internet. That's just because there's always going to be some negative people. Always like to tell my kids, you know, there's so many more better people in the world than bad. So as someone who runs a company like you do, what is it that you focus on, or what's a priority in all of the projects that you do to help a client bring that positive message forward?
Yeah, a lot of what we talk about is community. So like cultivating a community online. So I think there's been this old school mentality of you just post on social media and then you like retreat and you go back to your job and the next task. Kind of like ghosting. If somebody was to text you and then you leave, you don't want to do that on social. You want to really engage and form relationships with the people that have entrusted to follow you. I think we forget that the followers we have online are people. They're human beings behind a screen, and everyone engages with your content one post at a time. So I always like to instill a sense of engagement. Have conversations, send voice direct messages on Instagram. Think about each specific platform and why people go there and how can you serve them there differently. Because what people go to Facebook for is different what they might go to YouTube for versus LinkedIn versus TikTok, right? So really thinking about how are you providing value? How are you entertaining? That's a big thing now. And then how are you overall just engaging with them once they are involved into your community online.
Can you tell me what some of your own favorite questions are to ask when you get a new client? My guess is, you know, the first thing you're going to do is ask them questions to get to know right? Who they are, what they're looking for, what their challenges are. Do you have a couple of favorite questions that you'd like to ask that you think really give you insight and the right direction?
Yeah. So there's two main ones. I always ask about their data. I ask them if they know their data. I ask them, do you have Google Analytics? Are you watching what's happening on your website? What pages people are going to? What are your audiences on each platform? Because you don't need to be on them all. Mm-hmm. You really only need to be where the audience you're looking for is. Mm-hmm. So a lot on the data side, which I do like 30 plus page decks. So there's a lot that goes into data. And then because you have to understand your data to tell the right story, or else it's just a bunch of numbers on a screen, right?
Do you like that? Is that fun for you?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I geek out on data.
Okay.
it literally uncovers so many things. I mean, just one example of this, I was working with an organization doing a social media audit. And it's more than social media, but that's what I call it. And I was looking at their Google Analytics. And I said, there's a big difference on your donation page from mobile to desktop in terms of conversion. And so I looked at it and I went on mobile, and on mobile, it was taking people to a completely new website, which had a slow load speed. So people were just being like, oh, I'm checked out. If your website takes more than 1 to 3 seconds, really 1 to 2 seconds, someone's gone.
Right, yeah.
And desktop, it was quick and it wasn't making you switch sites. And so the executive director was like, what? Are you kidding? And I was like, this is something, if you're not looking at that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You might miss, it's a very small nuanced thing, but that can be hundreds of thousands of dollars of potential donations. So data is absolutely one. The other thing I look for a lot is brand voice. Companies should sound like a brand. They should sound relatable to the audience that you're looking to serve, mm-hmm. in terms of your persona, like what kind of character do you sound like? Some funny ones, if you look at like the Burger King or McDonald's of the world, sometimes they don't even capitalize sentences. They use slang. That's part of their brand voice. Chick-fil-A, right? Definitely doesn't even spell words right. That's their decision as a brand. So as an organization, you should think about, who are we, and do we sound relatable and not very corporate-y if that's not your brand? So there's a series of questions I ask that help develop an organization's brand voice, because that's on digital, yes, but that's also on your website, that's on your email communications, that's on print materials, that's your messaging as an organization. Movember, I worked with, does a beautiful job of this. They have like a 40-page brand guide where they literally say, like, we say this, we don't say this, these are certain phrases we say, this is how we address certain issues. So to be very clear, so that when I worked with Movember, I came on as a consultant and it could have taken me forever to try and figure it out, but they're like, here you go, here's our brand guide deck, and I could quickly understand how I should take over the accounts and be able to sound just like they sounded a month ago.
That's awesome. Listen, we're going to go into our last break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about kind of the pros and cons of being an entrepreneur, in case there's a listener who's contemplating doing something themselves. Stay with us. I'll be back with Dana Snyder, founder and CEO of Positive Equation. We'll be right back.
Now, the women to watch, Military Watch.
Hi, I'm Carol Eggert, Senior Vice President of Military Affairs at Comcast NBC Universal. 20 years ago, the eyes of the world focused on the United States, watching a nation endure tremendous horror and tragedy. Every year since, our nation dedicates September 11th as a National Day of Remembrance in honor of the nearly 3,000 victims of the world's largest terrorist attack. As we picked up the pieces, millions of military service members embarked on a generation-defining journey coined by George Bush as the often criticized name, the Global War on Terror. President Obama later declared that war over and the term was no longer officially used. Sifting through the complexities of the last 20 years, which was only magnified by the recent events in Afghanistan, I continue to reflect on how recent wars and conflicts have shaped the military community and its relationship with the American people. Over three-quarters of post-9/11 veterans have deployed overseas, and almost 30% have deployed three or more times throughout their military careers. As these men and women put themselves in harm's way, year in and year out, I'm humbled to see how civilians continue to acknowledge and support them and their families. For example, 40% of military-serving nonprofit organizations were founded after 9/11. These community-focused groups, volunteers, and donors deliver a myriad of resources to meet the needs of service members and military families, such as career transition assistance or providing aid to our Gold Star families. So from the custom of thanking someone for their service to the fact that the U.S. military remains at the top of the list of the most respected American institutions, this coming Patriot Day, we can be proud that our nation is living up to George Washington's standard when he said, "A nation is judged by how well it treats its veterans."
Now, more of Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm with Dana Snyder, the founder and CEO of Positive Equation. And I always like to hear from entrepreneurs their feedback, experience, and, you know, what's challenging for you as an entrepreneur and what gets you most excited. Can you talk a little bit about what, you know, pros and cons? It can be scary to be running your own business. How do you manage it? Yeah. What's your mantra for those stressful times?
Well, I would say it's evolved a lot. So I'm 4 years in now.
Okay.
I'd say the first year, 2 years, you're just trying to figure it out. My business has evolved so much since then. My mantra, honestly, would be just start. You're never going to get it perfect. What I did in 2017 when I first started my company is completely different than what I do now. I ran it as an agency model, providing strategy and execution for social media for nonprofits and purpose-driven businesses. And I've evolved to be a consultant and trainer and teacher for nonprofits in the digital marketing space, because I realized that once I had a 6-month or annual retainer end, things typically went back to the status quo for the organization. And I was like, well, that's not really sustainable. So I tested just teaching and consulting with organizations with somebody internal. Therefore, they grew and knew more skills. They felt more confident, and they could continue to change things in their organization once our work was done together. So, gosh, I mean, there's so many pros and cons. I love my freedom of time.
Are you working from home, or do you have an office space?
I am. Yep. I work from home. I have since the beginning. That has proven to, at first, I just worked all the time. I would wake up at 7:30. I was living in a 400 square foot studio apartment in Los Angeles. And I would wake up in my pajamas, sit on my computer, go to work, and stop working at like 11 o'clock. I answered emails all the time because you felt like you needed to. I said yes to all the clients because I felt like I needed to. And now I do not work like that.
Okay, good.
The balance has significantly shifted because that was just not possible to continue. I set much stronger boundaries for a balance now.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to work with whoever I want to work with, work when I want. But there's a lot that I'm good at, and there's stuff that I'm not great at. And part of that learning process was I need to hire out for the things I'm not great at. Mm-hmm. I didn't need to be doing my QuickBooks and trying to figure out and watching YouTube videos on how to make sure my books are balanced every single month, right? That wasn't a great use of my time. Although I was like, but I have to do it. I have to figure it out. No, I don't.
Well, in the beginning, you don't have the budget, right? For all the things that you don't do well. That's that juggle of, you know, trying to just keep it going.
Yeah. And then you realize, but what's interesting about that is, but did I? Because to find out what is the monthly rate of having a bookkeeper accountant versus how much is my hourly rate, and is my time better spent servicing clients and getting new business than working on my QuickBooks? So I think as an entrepreneur, something I strongly recommend, I would not be where I am without a community of other female entrepreneurs to learn from, to vent with, to celebrate with. I invested this year in a mastermind program through Julie Solomon, and there's like 17 other female entrepreneurs in that group, and they bring in guest coaches, and we continue to learn all the time from each other and these guest coaches that come in to teach us, because things are always changing and evolving in what we do. So I'd say surround yourself with like-minded people that I aspire to be. I love to be challenged. I love to be in a group of female entrepreneurs where I'm the smallest one and I can just learn from them and grow. So that has been a constant cadence of finding communities and building relationships with women that I really admire.
Tell me how much you when I think about just women and girls in general, right? And this show is about really trying to help encourage more girls and women to pursue those leadership positions, because I just think the world will be better. When you think about the gifts that women and girls have that are different from men and boys, how do you see the need to have more women in positions of authority and policy making? And, you know, why is it important to you?
I think there's a lot of importance around diversity in leadership for numerous reasons. One big thing that I've just had from living in different cities is everyone has different experiences and beliefs and opinions. And if you don't have a wide variety of opinions and background and experience at a table, you're not getting a full scope of an issue or of an interest or of a brand, whatever it might be, to have a really meaningful conversation. So I think you need all different genders and races to be considered at a table. Something I talk about with nonprofits, because they have board of directors, is to make sure that you have a very diverse board, age-wise, gender-wise, race-wise, because everyone is living right at the same time, but has very different cultural experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's important to absolutely bring a woman's voice into the conversation whenever possible, and especially at that leadership level.
And probably quicker to finding a solution, the more ideas are, you know, circling around.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, we're at the end of the show, and I thank you so much for coming on and sharing a little bit about your story, and I hope we can hear more of you in the future.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Stay tuned next week for my conversation with Yasmin Gramian. Excuse me. She's the Secretary of Transportation at PennDOT. Have a great week, everyone, and thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428.
Not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.